final case this morning is United States against Felix. Mr. Winning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel, thank you for the opportunity to address this honorable court. I'm Joel Winnig. I'm a solo practitioner in Madison, Wisconsin. I was appointed counsel for Mr. Clark under CJA at trial, and I was appointed to represent Mr. Clark in this appeal. The issue in this case was Mr. Clark competent to be sentenced? Sentencing was approximately 2 months after he entered his guilty plea. He had been in the Dane County Jail since the inception of this case, and there was a pre-sentence report prepared. I had cited in my brief what I believe is ample evidence in the transcript that Mr. Clark was not competent to be sentenced.
But of course, you know, the district court, you called this to her attention, but the district court judge basically looks at his conduct through the sentencing proceeding, including, you know, the rather confused statements that he makes and his plain desire to get out of the Dane County Jail, but also the actual substantive help he's giving. And she decides overall, she says, Mr. Clark, you have a very good understanding of what's going on. And she thinks that maybe he's going to need some help in prison, and she puts that in the judgment. Don't we owe deference to that assessment of hers? Because it's a threshold question whether he needs to be diverted from sentencing, stabilized mentally. As I understand, that's what you're asking for. He should have somehow been stabilized mentally before the sentencing itself went forward, because it's your theory he might have been able to persuade her to pick a lower end of the guidelines range, or, you know, in some fashion or another, sentencing would have possibly gone different. But she doesn't think he's made that threshold showing.
Well, I agree that Judge Crabb, whatever Judge Crabb says, is entitled to deference and weight, because she's the senior, she's the chief judge.
Well, I mean, she's the person on the scene is what she is, and well, I guess that's the point.
I think that's one thing to weigh, but as I read your cases, particularly Metcalf and U.S. v. John, which cases have been there for 20 years, they say that unless the judge makes a specific finding of competence based on all those cases say based on evidence, not just the judge's own observation, but expert testimony, that your standard of review is comprehensive. So in your comprehensive review, you should give weight to what Judge Crabb says as you find it's appropriate, but I think there are two other significant factors to give weight to, which I believe one is what defense counsel has to say about his own client's competency, because you have many cases, and they were actually the ones cited in Mr. Connell's brief, that say when a defendant attacks his own competency on appeal, that you give great weight to the fact that his own counsel at trial said he was competent. So the same logic says that if his own counsel is saying, this man isn't competent, he isn't helping me the way he should be, he isn't responding the way he should be, that should be given weight. And then I think what I cited in my appendix at A18, just look at what Mr. Clark says. When the judge said to him, is there anything you want me to know about you? And he says, no, I'm high risk. They just let me out once a day. The nurse is messing with me. I want to get this done. Give the sentence whatever. It don't matter. So in your comprehensive review, if I think the question is, it really offends the concept of due process to say you can sentence a man in that condition when what he's supposed to be saying there and what he could have said that if he were competent was, remember, when my mental condition hadn't deteriorated to the point that I'm at today, I assisted the government. I'm expecting a Rule 35 departure. I was very coherent when I made the statements that convicted, and you have one of his co-defendants, you consolidated the appeal. I understand the attorney waived his argument, but he appealed. That man was convicted because of the statement Mr. Clark made. The third co-defendant ultimately pled guilty. So he could have been telling the judge he learned his lesson, he wanted to be on the right side of the law, he demonstrated that by cooperation. This is a 26-year-old man that's telling the judge, I don't care what you do, I just have to get out of here. So he's saying it is because of his history of mental illness, or he's saying he just has to get out of there. I'm saying that I should get some weight for knowing I made a specific determination. He was barely hanging on to his mental health when he pled guilty. I wouldn't be part of the process to have him plead guilty if I didn't think he understood the charge at the time, what his risks were, what he was getting in the sentencing guidelines by getting his downward departure, and what he could get by the Rule 35 motion. So he understood that at the time. And I think the fact was that approximately a year before, under state court proceedings, a psychiatrist had found him incompetent to proceed. So
well, here's a substantial. I mean, this is a case, of course, where the record showed that he'd been diagnosed numerous times, actually, with mental health problems. But the question was, the only thing we really can decide is whether they had reached a level of severity at this sentencing hearing that is bad enough that we we require a resentencing.
Well, that's what I believe we showed, and actually the statute section, or Title 18, Section 4244, actually requires that examination be done and he be given the provisional sentence and he be sentenced when he's competent to proceed. So I think the question here is whether we establish that your review is comprehensive and you take the whole record into account, and since all the other cases that had to do with the defendant's own counsel representing that he's competent had to do with, in addition, there were examinations or competency wasn't raised. I haven't found a case that said when a defendant was there raising a question of competence, having substantial evidence, having his own counsel say he wasn't competent, that this kind of result happened. So, and I think it's an opportunity then to make that statement, because there is no case that says the reverse of what's there, which is the defense counsel saying he's competent, that gets weight. There isn't a case that says the defense counsel is saying he's not competent, give that weight as well. That's really all I had to say. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Winnie. Mr. Connell.
Good morning. My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Western District of Wisconsin, and I represented the United States below in the prosecution of Mr. Clark. Judge Wood, why don't I just begin with your question to Mr. Winnick. The amount of deference owed to the district court here, it seems to me that you're owed a lot. You've got the district judge sitting as close as I am to you here today, being able to look at Mr. Clark.
Is he qualified as a psychiatrist? I have great respect for Judge Crabb, but you know, we all can't do everything.
No, Your Honor, I think what I mean is she's able to look and see how much his demeanor, his appearance, how is he interacting with his counsel on that day. And what the record reflects is that Mr. Clark actually did a heck of a lot at his sentencing. He's citing statutes to Mr. Winnick.
Right. He has facts at issue, but he displays a rather, let's say, indifferent attitude since he's so upset about his medication and so forth. He keeps saying he doesn't care. I mean, you know, and counsel is saying, undoubtedly because of these medication issues or something, that his condition is on a downward deteriorating slide. Can we be confident in either the district court's mental health evaluation as a non-expert or in the result of this sentencing? Surely defendants care where they fall within the range. I mean, nobody's saying there was actually a mistake of law in computing, you know, the category, but I don't know. It's a little troublesome.
Well, Your Honor, to the extent that you have, if you did this comprehensive review that Mr. Winnick thinks encourage you to do, if you look at the cold record, it's very clear there's really scant evidence that he was suffering from so much mental problems on that day. that he was unable to assist Mr. Winnick. I mean, Mr. Clark himself, if you look at the beginning of the plea hearing, if Mr. Winnick says, Judge Crabb, my client wants to raise his competence. The other facts, Your Honor, from the sentencing, you've got that Mr. Winnick admitted, well, Mr. Clark is still assisting me. That's borne out by the fact that Mr. Clark is able to raise a couple statutes to him. The true highlight, though, Your Honor, is that Mr. Clark himself caught errors in the PSR and not only raised those to Judge Crabb, but explained to her why it was important. It was important to him because how he would be classified, not only which prison was he going to go to, but within the prison was he going to be classified as a violent person who needed to be locked down. The last issue for me to address is just kind of the standard of review. This issue kind of permeates between the briefs. Should it be this comprehensive review? Should it be an abuse of discretion standard? The United States just respectfully submits that the abuse of discretion standard be a little more appropriate here. You got the court looking down at the defendant, able to look into the whites of his eyes and see how he's acting and how he's interacting. However, under either standard, it's comprehensive review or abuse of discretion. The district court was correct to deny the hearing. In this case, there was no reasonable cause to believe that Mr. Clark was incompetent, and therefore he never got past that threshold issue. And I would just ask that you affirm his conviction and sentence. And unless there are questions from the panel, I would just rely on the brief submitted in the argument here today.
Thank you very much. Anything further, counsel?
Just as the standard review, this is my brief, but this is a short point for emphasis. This court in John said, but when there has been no psychiatric examination or judicial determination, our review is comprehensive. I guess the question to parse there is what's in that language, but I understand that to mean a judicial determination that would have been based on some type of psychiatric examination. The fact that Mr. Clark was there and paying attention to some details doesn't, in my view, take away from the question that he wasn't really competent to be sentenced. Because, first of all, the guideline range we're talking about was 12 to 15 years. He's a man in his mid-20s. To think that 3 years doesn't make any difference and he shouldn't have made some effort to convince the judge that he should have had the low end of the guideline range, I think is very significant. Mr. Connell actually argued that he should get the low end of the guideline range. So when the judge asked him what he had to say, that's one of the things he should have said. And I have to believe that even though these are arguments and the judge made a decision that was within the guidelines based on criminal history and her assessment, that I think it makes a difference when defendants accept responsibility, show remorsefulness, talk about their cooperation. He just wasn't there to be able to do it. And then if we're talking about the due process and upholding constitutional rights, I think what we have is a man who's going to be in prison 12 to 15 years. There was really very little there was nothing to be lost and everything to be gained by saying, yes, go get your mental health under control and come back when you fully understand the proceedings. The fact that you're marginally there, why do we have to argue about this? He's going to be in the custody of the government for 12 to 15 years. Why couldn't he come back fully lucid and be sentenced, and then we would have the benefit of saying all his constitutional rights have been observed without question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wink, we appreciate your willingness to take the case and the assistance you've been both to your client and us.
Thank you, and I'll be happy to continue to do that at any opportunity.
The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.